Welcome back to Hoops HD, everybody. Championship week, video notebook, day number
10. It's double figures.
It is very late.
The Pac-12 is not done yet as we record this. We're cheating. We're starting early, David.
Still very. No, it's early is not what it is. It is very, very late.
I'm your host, Chad Sherwood. John Stalica coming to us from the air raid bunker, and David Griggs coming to us from the puppet bunker.
It's very late.
And David told us it's very late. Yeah. This is the show where we review all the conference tournament action, preview the upcoming stuff, and do a bunch of other stuff, update our survival board, fix all of college basketball's problems. We do everything on the show, don't we?
Yeah, we do everything on the show. Like, the committee has actually begun. They are together. They had, well, they used to have the pasta dinner tonight. I don't know if they eat pasta anymore. The restaurant that they always ate at is in Indianapolis.
Yeah,
but they are together tonight, and we are here to help, aren't we, Chad? I mean, that's ultimately what we're here for.
We are here to help, and this podcast is available for them to watch late night tonight, or probably more likely sometime Thursday morning. They can watch this. They can find out what happened in the games. They can know what's coming up in those games and know who's in, who's out. They can get the link to our survival board. They can do everything.
Yeah, it's all right here for them. It's all broken down.
But on that note, let's get right to the games, okay? There's not much in terms of news and notes. We'll get to that, the news and notes as we go through everything, I think. But what do we want to start? How about we start in the one championship game? This is the last automatic bid that was going to be handed out between now and Saturday, so 2 days without them. But we did have the title game in the Patriot League with Colgate. Got out to a big lead over Bucknell. Bucknell made a couple runs, but was never really getting too close. John, Red Raiders back in the tournament for the first time in more than 20 years.
Well, they actually go by Raiders now, but by the same token.
The Red Raiders to me, I'm sorry.
By the same token, this wasn't the same blowout that Bucknell enjoyed over Colgate last year. But as we noted last night, 23 years in the making for Colgate. So congratulations to them on their appearance.
Yeah, and we finally saw a home team in a conference championship game win the game. So
yeah,
and
we
congratulations.
Saw sort of a court storming, but it was Colgate really, really finished strong. I mean, they came thundering down the stretch. So probably not only the best team, but the most deserving. Well, not just the most deserving team, but probably the team that's playing the best right now. I think they're destined for the 15 line probably.
That's why I have them, yeah. I think that there's enough garbage below them on the 16 that they're going to avoid that, and I don't think they have a shot at the 14 line.
But by the same token, that is 11 straight wins for the Raiders now, which is a school record and counting.
Yep. Yeah. I don't think they have to count any further, but it's a school record. When you look at what's on the 1 and 2 line, it seems like Michigan State and, forget it. But let's move on to the major conferences that were in action today. It was actually day number 2 in the ACC, which started, David, with what was billed up as the game of the day, and it ended up being the game of the day in the conference, the NC State Clemson game, and what an amazing choke job by Clemson.
It really, really was so fitting, yet another frustrating end to what was a frustrating season. They led by, I think, as much as 15 at one point, but it was at least 12. And again, NC State didn't get the lead until late. Clemson had the lead in the final seconds, and just on defense was, as I said, but it was a combination of utter stupidity and poor execution that led to them ultimately losing by a point. And NC State, some thought that they were in already. Even if they're not, they got a chance to basically definitely put themselves in today or tomorrow.
And I'm done with Clemson at this point. I don't personally believe they have any shot. I'd be absolutely shocked if they got their name called on Sunday.
Yeah.
At this point. John, the other three games, Vatek, Louisville, Syracuse, all kind of rolled. I guess Pitt hung with Syracuse for a bit, but it was not really that close to any of these games.
Only the Panthers, but by the same token, Miami and Notre Dame had no shot of advancing any further beyond Tuesday.
Yeah, and Syracuse was playing this game without Tyus Battle, so that's probably the only reason Pitt had with him for a while.
But they did get Buddy Boeheim with about 20 points tonight in his stead.
David, yeah. we may have, you know, regional level type of games tomorrow. These are four amazing games. Virginia, NC State, Florida State, Virginia Tech, two possible protected seeds in a quarterfinal round. North Carolina, Louisville, Duke, Syracuse.
What's interesting is we have North Carolina, Louisville, Hill, North Carolina hovering around our 2 line and Louisville hovering around our 7 line, and it's a 2-7 game. So very much like a regional.
I mean, look at that. Florida State and Vatech, they could be a 4 seed and a 5 seed in the NCAA tournament.
Yeah, they could be.
Virginia, it'll be a 1. Duke will be higher than a 3. But this is going to be a great – it should be a great day. And
yeah, really.
Do you see any upsets in terms of the seeding?
Yeah, I still think Louisville will get past North Carolina. I think the Tar Heels might – I just have a feeling they're going to kind of be sleepwalking in the quarterfinals, which you typically see. And I could see Syracuse taking down Duke.
That would be amazing. And you know what, maybe right. NC State wins also, and all three of these 1 seeds drop in the and we have one of those just crazy, crazy Thursdays, which we've had before. So
yeah, a little bit of note here. If the chalk holds and we do see Duke in North Carolina – they've played in the ACC tournament before, but I don't know if they've ever played in the NCAA.
No, 8 miles apart, and they have not.
Yeah, 8 miles. Okay. So,
John, it was first round day in the Big East. We saw Providence just roll over Butler, and St. John's finally find a way to beat DePaul.
Yeah, they finally found a way to beat DePaul and pull away in the second half. It's never good for DePaul, for example, when one of their guys, Gage, wasn't even being guarded by Chris Mullen. So they were pretty much playing 4-on-3 at times as far as some of their spare defenders. So it stabilizes St. John's a little bit, and we'll see if they're able to get a 3-game sweep of Marquette come tomorrow.
Yeah, and David, we have, again, 4 quarterfinals here. While these are not the level of the ACC, all 8 of these teams are still technically on our survival board and may have shots at large bids. Some of them, like Providence, a lot weaker of a case, but what do you see happening tomorrow? Any upsets in terms of seeding, at least?
I mean, the Johnnies have beaten Marquette twice. Can they do it again? It's a virtual home game, especially with the way Marquette's been playing down the stretch. I could see Georgetown over Seton Hall. Seton Hall's been so hot and cold at points. And the game that I'm excited about, neither one of these teams solidly in, but both have a pathway in. But you get the sense that the loser of this game tomorrow is probably out. How about this Creighton-Xavier game?
I think this is going to be a good one. And Creighton with a win here, may be all they need to get in. I think Xavier needs more than 1 win, but I think Creighton needs,
I agree, yeah.
Xavier is going to need all 3 games. Let's not kid ourselves.
Probably.
Yeah.
I'll tell you, David, I'm going to call an upset here right now, though, early in the morning. I'm calling Providence over Villanova.
Really? Wow. Yeah. And that kind of opens which really makes that Creighton-Xavier game even more interesting. Yep.
It's not that far-fetched of a pick when you consider, I think, Villanova has lost their 4 straight away from home.
Mm-hmm. Villanova, very unimpressive at times this season, to say the least. It was first round day in the Big Ten where in the late game, Illinois with an overtime win over Northwestern, and the earlier of the 2 games, Rutgers blew a big lead and Tim Miles' career continued. But David, I think we need to discuss what happened after the game.
Yes.
I don't know if we have the video or not, but.
Tim Miles, if you haven't seen it, search Twitter, search Google. It was awesome. He's so happy. He's running off the field, waving to everybody like the, ambassador.
With a big goofy smile on his face.
A big goofy, just slips, falls. It doesn't just fall, but rolls, does a full roll, gets back up, continues waving and smiling as if it was all in stuff. It was great.
It's amazing he didn't pull a Ron Hunter and either rip his pants or an Achilles in the process.
Yeah. John, we've got 4 games tomorrow. Maryland, Nebraska, Minnesota, Penn State, Iowa, Illinois. Those 3 games all involve teams that are in or probably going to be in the field against teams that are not. And a fascinating 8-9 game between Ohio State and Indiana to start the day.
You want to talk about 2 teams going in complete opposite directions? Indiana found itself in January and February suddenly unable to win any game of significance. they did change that equation towards early March, not just the two wins against Michigan State, but also games here and there against Illinois and Rutgers. And if they're able to beat Ohio State, I think the Buckeyes possibly get relegated to the NIT, but loser that game is certainly sweating on Sunday.
Yeah, I think the winner of that game could feel fairly comfortable. But at the end of the day, David, I think both teams make it in no matter what happens.
Yeah, they might.
I don't think this is the same as that NC State-Clemson game we saw today.
Right.
No, I think they're both a little bit ahead of NC State. Indiana, because of their record, a lot of people are projecting them as being right on the bubble. Who knows what the committee's going to do, but I personally have them a little higher than that. Yeah, their record isn't really bloated, but in their conference record in particular is lower than what you typically see of an NCAA tournament team. But, God, they've got a lot of good wins. And, like, you have to look at the whole body of work, and it's there. Whereas with NC State and Clemson, it really wasn't.
Right. Well, John, let me ask you, the other three games, do you see an upset by Nebraska, Penn State, or Illinois tomorrow?
I see a pair of twin killings towards the bottom of the bracket with Penn State and Illinois being the likely suspects here, especially really? With Iowa slumbering towards the end of the season.
Yeah, Iowa try to play the way out of the bubble. I think that they're too strong to fall there. But if they'd started this fall apart another week earlier, they might be. I think Minnie's going to take care of Penn State. I don't think I agree on that one. And, of course, Maryland's going to crush Nebraska.
And Nebraska's going to – I mean, they're just on their march to greatness. They are 10 wins away, and 10 miles is just off and running.
David.
Yes.
Big 12 today. We saw the opening round day where it was TCU miraculously got by Oklahoma State, and they could have cost themselves an NCAA tournament bid. And then Oklahoma – I mean, what a game against West Virginia. West Virginia playing like a team I haven't seen all season.
Yeah, really shooting themselves in the foot. Both these teams really needing these wins coming in today and just not TCU barely escaping. You would hope to have seen them play better than that. And Oklahoma going down. Now, and when you look at this resume, I mean, there's still a lot of good on it. But, wow, this is sort of an anchor. I mean, this is going to weigh them down a bit, and I still think they make it, but that's pretty – there's reasons to leave them out for sure.
Yeah, now, I mean, they now have a quadrant three loss with the game today against West Virginia. That might boost up to a quadrant two if West Virginia raises a bit because of the win in tomorrow's rankings. But – with this loss, they are now 7-11 in conference regular season, 7-12 overall against conference, and five games under 500 against conference play is not a good sign.
Yeah, and again, similar with Indiana, it's not happened before, I don't think.
Well, we've had one instance in 1998 where Florida State actually went 6-10 in the ACC, but one of the things they had in their back pocket last year, they had a win against, I think it was UConn during the preseason NIT in Arizona as well, I believe.
Right, but tomorrow's games now, TCU, who's probably in breathing even easier than Oklahoma is, gets K-State, Baylor, Iowa State, West Virginia. By the way, in that game, Oklahoma thought they had tied it at the buzzer on a three, but his foot was clearly on the line. So
yeah,
a little bit of heartbreak there. Texas Tech, West Virginia, Kansas, Texas, a fascinating game, I think, that Kansas-Texas game, because this Texas team absolutely needs this win.
Yeah.
But David, any upsets tomorrow? Any of the lower seeds winning?
I could see Iowa State winning. I know that they've kind of been in a tailspin lately, but I actually could see Texas taking down Kansas.
John, you agree with that? Texas, you think it could beat Kansas and keep their hopes alive?
I think Kansas City is close enough that Kansas will feel it's going to be a home environment. That's probably going to be a little bit much for the Longhorns to overcome, but they don't have any margin of error anymore.
I didn't hear either one of you picking West Virginia to win, and you would have been probably thrown off the show if you chose.
Right, yeah.
John, SEC today, we saw first round games, Missouri took down Georgia. Texas A&M rolled over Vanderbilt. That's enough about discussing those games. So what about these four games tomorrow? Florida, Arkansas, Auburn, Missouri, Ole Miss, Alabama, Mississippi State, A&M.
Yeah, we'll be discussing tomorrow as to whether or not that launches Vanderbilt into the Stallings Award. But by the same token, we do have kind of a bubblicious game between Ole Miss and Alabama. The Crimson Tide certainly need that game to keep their hopes alive. And Ole Miss, if they lose, they're probably wearing a dark jersey. Florida is another team that they'd better not mess around against Arkansas tomorrow.
Yeah, I agree. I think that Florida game is even more important than – well, I mean, Alabama really needs a win. I think they need multiple wins. But Florida with this win, David, might this be the win that puts them in the field?
Yeah, and it's not necessarily a given. Arkansas has played really, really well at times, and Florida has not. It wouldn't shock me if Arkansas got them tomorrow.
Yeah. Watch out for A&M against Mississippi State. If an upset's going to happen, that might be the game that it happens. And A&M has had some life at times this season.
Yeah.
One other quick note in the SEC, Will Wade is definitely out for the rest of the season. The head coach at LSU, his suspension will last the rest of the year. He's not going to be back this season. So,
or next year.
Or maybe next, but at least it's guaranteed for this season. So we'll see how LSU plays come Friday without him against more game competition than Vanderbilt. Atlantic 10. We saw the first round games today. David, GW beat UMass in a good one. Richmond over Fordham in another good one. A couple close games.
Yeah, entertaining day. I don't know what it really means because I don't think anybody's going any further after tomorrow. George Mason, I still think that they have a high ceiling that they just have not played up to. Certainly better than George Washington. Going to be kind of fun to see that rivalry. And I'm not going to step. I always fall into the Richmond trap. I don't think any team goes any further.
Yeah, Richmond playing a very, very disappointing St. Louis team tomorrow, so who knows on that one. Duquesne, yeah. St. Joe's, Rhode Island, LaSalle, the other two games. John, anything you see coming up in these games, or we really just got to wait till the top four teams come into play on Friday?
Duquesne may be a team that might be able to surprise Davidson and Dayton down the road, but they better not overlook a St. Joe's team that does have history of being a noisemaker in this event.
Yeah, I haven't seen anything from St. Joe's this year, so I don't really think that's going to happen.
And Duquesne is a team that hasn't exactly played their best ball down the stretch either.
Yeah, I mean, St. Joe's may win tomorrow, but that's going to be it for them. I'll go there. Mountain West Conference, John, started off today with Boise State knock off Colorado State. New Mexico coming from down big to beat Wyoming, and Air Force rolling San Jose State.
Yeah, you can just peel back the curtain for tonight and for tomorrow. Boise State did give Nevada a scare earlier in the year, but I think Nevada is going to end up winning that one fairly comfortably. The one team that may have to watch out for tomorrow is going to be Fresno State against Air Force.
I like that upset pick, David. You on board with us, Air Force over Fresno?
I don't think it happens, but I do like the pick anyway, because it could. Air Force looking really, really good today and having a way better than normal year for them.
I don't think New Mexico is going to beat Utah State. I think San Diego State UNLV should be a pretty good game, especially these games are played at Thomas and Mack, so it's going to be a home game for Vegas.
Mm-hmm. Utah State better not be taking them for granted, though.
Let's move on to, well, John, you mentioned peeling back the curtain, so let's skip ahead a couple conferences. We'll come back to it. Let's talk about the curtain. We saw it today. It was the curtain. At the same time, we were watching Louisiana Tech with a thrilling win over Florida Atlantic and UAB taking care of Middle Tennessee. And then simultaneously at night, North Texas and Marshall both won big.
It was a nice bounce-back win for North Texas, considering their slide in the past couple weeks where they've fallen as low as 10, which was the lowest they could have fallen in the middle pod in Conference USA. They will have to get past Western Kentucky in the quarters, but not an impossible order for them to overcome.
I think it is. I think this Western Kentucky team is going to roll North Texas tomorrow. I think Southern Miss Marshall is going to be a real good game. I think UTSA UAB is going to be a real good game.
Yeah.
David, Louisiana Tech actually fouled Florida Atlantic, and Florida Atlantic missed a free throw with 1.5 seconds left that would have tied the game. Was a heartbreaking loss there for FAU. But
yeah, after kind of a really exciting start to the season for them, we thought they were going to do more than what they did. But yeah, what a way to go out. But four really good games tomorrow. Two of them going on. Well, you know, with two going on at the same time, it's the curtain magic. We had a fantastic video today that you shared, Chad, of the curtain going up.
Yes. Look at my Twitter. It's at @CSherwood_1973. Look it up there. You can see the retweet on there. It is definitely worth watching.
Yeah. Something else that's worth watching. Are we going there next? Yeah.
Why don't we go there next, David? And before I even go there, let's take a look at something else because we saw it today. We told you about it last night. It happened. The Big Sky Conference has the best halftime entertainment in all of Division One.
In all of sports. I mean,
there it is.
Yeah, the Super Bowl does not have entertainment like this. It's great. If you're watching on Pluto TV, whatever the hell that is, people were asking me, I don't know. You have floor sweepers. There's no halftime show. There's no commentary. There's no even attempt to do any semblance of a halftime show. We just have floor sweepers.
Is that a Big Sky written in Russian on the back?
I don't know what you're talking about, John.
But I'm looking at the logos upside down.
Okay. Let's take a look at the actual results of the Big Sky Conference. Three games today. Sac State knocked off Northern Arizona, as I told you they would last night. Southern Utah beat Idaho State, and Montana State won a close one over Idaho. Montana State, a little fact here, this is the first time in 10 years that they've actually won a Big Sky tournament game. And a little shout out to Tyler Hall, who hit 2,500 career points for them. All-time leading score there, I believe, at Montana State.
Yeah, and they barely did it against one of the worst teams in the nation. But they did it. They did it. Yeah.
Yeah. They did it. And so, David, what about these games coming up tomorrow? Montana, Sac State, Weber State, Portland State, Northern Colorado, Southern Utah, Eastern Washington, and Montana State.
I think the higher seed wins big in all four cases.
As much as I would like to see the Nokoiwu Cup round three, I think Southern Utah is actually primed for a surprise here.
Really? I was going to go with the other game. I was going to go with this Montana State team. I want to keep this going with them, the Bobcats. Why not?
Yeah. But don't forget, like, tune in tomorrow, and you do not want to miss this halftime show, I'm telling you.
MEAC Day. It was the first two quarterfinals, the one top two seeds, and when you expect the teams to win big, instead, somehow they pulled out the wins. But both teams were primed for upsets. Almost lost today. Norfolk State and AT&T, though, Dave, did pick up the victories.
Yeah. And again, like, two really close games, and you thought you were going to see the MEAC be the MEAC and South Carolina State knock them off, but they held on. And then that overtime game, not many people probably watch this because it's on Flow Hoops and it's behind a paywall. But at the time, I'm telling you, this was probably the most exciting game in both cases that was going on. So,
That was a fun game, the A&T Coppin State game. John, tomorrow we get the other two quarterfinals, Howard against Bethune-Cookman, NC Central against 11-seed Delaware State.
Even by MEAC standards, I would be pretty surprised if a Delaware State were to knock off NC Central. But fortunately for A&T, at least they get a day of rest to recruit from their overtime game.
Yeah. How about Howard Bethune? You got a pick for me in that game?
I would probably go with Cookman in this one and their bid to reach the NCAA tournament for the first time.
David, it was first round day in the Southland Conference where we saw one really entertaining game between Lamar and Houston Baptist and one non-entertaining game between Central Arkansas and Corpus Christi.
Yeah, Central Arkansas really blowing it open in the second half of that game, but Lamar Houston Baptist kind of went back and forth. Lamar getting the win, I don't think they go any further, but they got the win. They're still playing. They're still on the survival board.
So you think they lose New Orleans tomorrow? How about Central Arkansas, Southeastern Louisiana?
I could see Central Arkansas winning that one, but I'm still going to pick the chalk to hold.
Yeah, I'll go with you there.
Yeah.
If this worked right, we should now have all the finals in the Pac-12, and we do. I was saving it for last because we started a little early, but we did have first round day in the Pac-12. Where, I don't know, USC won, Colorado won, UCLA won, Oregon won, and who cares?
Yeah, that's what it kind of comes down to. Colorado-Cal, kind of an exciting game. Cal, who was utterly atrocious all season long, much improved at the end of the year, but still not very good. But wouldn't that have been something if they won the day?
Yeah. John, how about tomorrow? Washington, USC, Oregon State, Colorado, Arizona State, UCLA, or Utah, Oregon. You see any of the lower seeded teams winning?
I would probably say Oregon State and Oregon are going to get a step closer to potentially meeting in the title game. Arizona State and Washington, I think, are going to move on with a little bit of sweating having to be done. But at the end of the day, I think Oregon is the only lower seeded team that wins.
Yeah, I think Oregon wins tomorrow pretty easily.
I definitely think that Oregon wins. I think Oregon's going to win this entire tournament. I wouldn't be surprised if Washington got knocked out tomorrow. It would not shock me.
But yeah, by the same token, would it surprise you if Oregon State beat Oregon to win the tournament? I think they actually swept the Ducks in the regular season, if I'm not mistaken.
They got to get to the finals first, so let's hold off on discussing that.
No,
game.
But if that happens, I think it would salvage the entire Pac-12 season.
Let's turn to some conferences that were not in action today, but are going to be in action here on Thursday. Back in action in the Sun Belt after a day off. They have moved to New Orleans. And Dave, we have Louisiana, South Alabama, and Coastal Carolina, Louisiana, Monroe. Are these the games of the day tomorrow?
Yeah, the games of the entire day. and again, whatever else is going on tomorrow night in the power conferences, put it on hold because Coastal and Monroe are going at it.
Yes, in the seven-layer burrito of the Sun Belt tournament, you know, it's not going to be until Saturday that we see the real teams get, maybe Friday with Texas State, but that's it for the Sun Belt. Let's go to four more conferences that have not yet played that are starting here on Thursday, including the American.
Yes. And how about that all right out of the gate? The biggest rivalry.
It is not the biggest. South Florida UConn's not the biggest rival. You think about Central Florida UConn.
I'm thinking of Central Florida.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Okay. South Florida UConn, Memphis, Tulane. Tulane has not won a conference game all season. Tulsa, SMU, Wichita State, East Carolina. John, you see any upsets in these four games tomorrow?
The closest one would probably be SMU potentially knocking off Tulsa right here.
Yeah. And David, how about who wins this thing here? This once we get past to tomorrow, it's going to be fun from Friday on, and more fun than any American tournaments I remember in recent years with these top four teams.
Yeah, maybe ever. Memphis, by the way, is playing really, really well lately.
As is Wichita.
As is Wichita. So, I mean, right out of the gate, those are two teams that could get to the semis and not just win tomorrow, and maybe even further than that. We'll see how it goes. It's hard to pick a winner here. I am actually I don't see any upsets tomorrow other than, well, none that really matter.
Does Houston win this? Does Houston roll these three games or no?
I don't think so. I think I'm going to go way outside the box here. I'm tempted to pick Memphis to win the whole tournament.
Wow. You want to go Memphis also?
I wouldn't be picking Central Florida for the same reason that the puppet mentioned right here. I'm not picking Cincinnati after they got decimated at home against Houston. But by process of elimination, I don't trust Temple enough to win the whole thing, so I will go Cougars here to go chalk in this tournament.
I'm going to agree with you. Go the Cougars also. Actually, went a little bit out of order here. Another conference that was already started back in action is the Mid-American Conference here on Thursday, quarterfinal round day. Buffalo, Akron, Kent State, Central Michigan, Toledo, Northern Illinois, Bowling Green, Ball State. David, we've already given predictions a few days back on who's going to win this, but do you see any upsets here in the quarterfinal round day in the MAC?
No, I really don't.
Maybe Northern Illinois, Toledo. Northern Illinois did have the win over Buffalo during the season, so that might be the one that the biggest possible upset here.
Yeah. Buffalo doesn't need to win this tournament to get in. I think they're in the first ballot. I think they may actually already be in. The committee voted tonight. And plus, we've locked them in. So, wouldn't you assume that since we locked them in, that the committee put them in?
Right. Well, if the committee looks at the survival board, they'll know that they should be locked in. So
yeah, okay.
I think when you consider how they finish the season, Bowling Green has to be on upset alert, even if their opponent is going to be Ball State.
Yeah. Fair enough, but yeah.
We are starting play in two more conferences, actually, here. The Big West starts tomorrow.
Love this conference. Love the reseed.
It does reseed. That's why there's a little gap there. But the four games are – actually, the afternoon games are going to be UC Santa Barbara, Cal State Northridge, Cal State Fullerton, UC Davis. The evening games are – the late game is Hawaii Long Beach State. But the big one, 9 o'clock p.m., circle it. It is the latest
– Rivervine Cup.
The Rivervine Cup in the Big West tournament.
The Rivervine Cup. And I mean – this is kind of just overshadowing everything else that's happening out there. I think that it's all sold out, isn't it?
It should be. It's the Rivervine Cup.
They're moving it to the – I mean, this game normally in Anaheim, they're moving it to the Rose Bowl. They are all sold out.
John, who's going to win this entire event?
It's got to be Irvine here. I just don't see anyone who's going to be able to knock them off, especially with reseeding in play right here.
Yeah, David, I agree. I don't know. There may be an upset tomorrow. I don't know. Northridge might knock off Santa Barbara, or Davis might knock off Fulton. But I don't think it's going to matter at the end of the day. I agree. I think Irvine's going to roll their three games in this event.
Yeah, I think so, too. I mean, they've really, really dominated during the season, so much so that I think that even if they don't win the conference tournament, the committee will at least look at them. I don't think they'll take them. But Irvine is way ahead of everybody else.
One more conference to discuss. Another conference with this tournament in Las Vegas is the WAC. It begins tomorrow with New Mexico State against Chicago State, Rio Grande against Bakersfield, Utah Valley against UMKC, and the Lopes going up against Seattle at the late night game.
Yeah.
As far as tomorrow goes, David, Chicago State might be the winner of our Centenary Award for the worst team in D1 if they lose this game, first of all.
Yeah, so the two things can happen. Chicago State can win this tournament and make the field, or they could lose and most likely remain on the board.
Right. But in terms of the rest of the games, do you see any upsets?
I could see Bakersfield taking out down UTVRG, or I could even see the Lopes have been kind of disappointing in the second half of conference play after
Dangerous Seattle team, very dangerous.
Yeah, it is, and it's a healthy Seattle team, which we haven't really seen in a while. So, while I'm not going to predict an upset, I will say the Lopes better watch out for that one. And we hope, I think we all want, at least if you read Twitter, we want to see Grand Canyon in New Mexico because it is just spectacular whenever those
That'd be a great game if we get that final. But, Sleeka, who wins this event?
I don't see anyone knocking off New Mexico State here.
I agree completely, David.
Yeah.
Okay. Let's move on to our actual survival board. We've mentioned it a few times. And can you tell everybody that doesn't know what this is, what this – it is up there on the website along with all those conference tournaments, those two tabs right there. But those that don't know, what is this survival board?
We have four different tiers of the survival board where, number one, we're going to have teams in bold that are going to be locked into the field. And we also have a second grouping of teams that are bolded and all caps where you absolutely must take them after having won their conference tournaments. And then the third group of teams are going to be teams that are in italics that are under consideration where they should get, in some cases, at least a cursory look, or in some cases, a serious debate from the committee as to whether or not they get into the field. And then the fourth and final category for teams in a regular font like Pittsburgh and Notre Dame, you lose, you're out.
Right. And as each team loses, if they are not in bold or italics, they get it removed from this board. Shout out again to our good friend Brian Black. You can see him there on the right-hand side of the screen. He's been tweeting out pictures of him in the jerseys for each team as it gets eliminated.
It's been a lot of fun watching that. Brian on our mock committee this year, really excited to have him and that his microphone is working.
Entering the day today, though, there were 208 teams live with a chance to win. We'd already locked or clinched 40 spots out of 68 total, so there are only 28 spots left. But as a result of today's games, 177 teams left. 41 have been locked in, which means our new note there, the maximum number of at-large bids remaining that have not been locked in is down to 16.
Yeah. And again, we're getting way up there. So tomorrow, Thursday of championship week is probably the most special day of the season. I think that it spills over into Wednesday night now that some of the tournaments are staggered. And it used to be like growing up, that's when virtually all but four of the quarterfinals were. It was just a fantastic day. But Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday are the three best days of the best 2 weeks week ever.
Yeah, so this is going to be a great, great day. A ton of games tomorrow, so watch them all.
Yeah.
But speaking of college basketball, though, David, we've been trying to fix some college basketball's problems here on our show.
Yeah, we have been. We've been soliciting help from people that, quite frankly, just haven't been very helpful. I think that you've been in seeking out people that just can't really help, Chad.
Well, I mean, David, I don't know who you went with Ja Rule last, so that didn't even make any sense to me. But it says up there on the board, right through the survival board, that there are 68 total spots in the field. David, I think this is a problem. We've been screaming about this for years. The NCAA tournament does not make sense at 68. It should be 64.
Yeah, and the door is open to everybody at 64. It is. It's not like teams that it's the whole season plays into the tournament, and every team has a chance right from the get-go.
Right. So 64 is just the better number. I think we really got to get the NCAA to reduce it back from 68 down to 64.
Yeah.
So tonight, I'm going to reach out to somebody who could get things done. I'm reaching out to Fonz himself, Henry Winkler.
Hey!
Henry Winkler.
Hi, Henry Winkler. The NCAA tournament has 68 teams in it, which is just a stupid number in our opinion. Can you please get them to reduce the number of teams to a more perfect 64? Thank you. Henry Winkler, noted Rutgers alum, and played, obviously, Alfred Fonzarelli on Happy Days. So, Fonz, Henry Winkler.
Okay. We'll
Who's see. Alfred Fonzarelli, just out of curiosity?
Isn't that his first name?
Arthur Fonzarelli.
Arthur Fonzarelli. I apologize. I messed that up.
Well, no.
We'll go back.
Don't be surprised if he decides not to help us.
I'm sorry, Fonz. On that note, let's pull this down here. I can see if I can get something right. Let's go to final thoughts, Stalika.
We already teased earlier the pasta dinner that the Hoops HD staff enjoyed earlier tonight. And starting tomorrow, we will also have recaps of our Hoops HD selection committee starting tomorrow night once we unveil our board of teams that are going to include at-large teams that get at least 8 out of a possible 10 votes from our panel, and teams that get at least 3 votes out of a possible 10, they will be placed under consideration along with all of the regular season champions from their respective conferences. So keep an eye on our website during this time.
Yep, John will be posting updates after each of our meetings of what's happened, and we'll probably be updating it during our video notebooks how far along we are, which is going to be right along what the real committee is going to be at, right, David?
Yeah. They kind of look at what we're doing and follow the same pace that we do.
Okay. Well, David, any other final thoughts from you?
No, just to kind of repeat, more teams will probably be eliminated from the survival board tomorrow than in any other single day of championship week. I think there's more games tomorrow than there are on any other day of championship week. They're obviously all stakes games in one form or another. You know, you're under the radar conferences. It's playing to stay alive. Everybody else is playing for something, either to stay alive or for seeding or for whatever. The busiest week of the year, I think, is the week of the exempt tournaments during Thanksgiving as far as the number of games that are played. But this is the most there are more important games tomorrow than on any other day of the year. And it's Thursday of championship week. To me, I look forward to it even more than I do the round of 64.
Well, it's going to be a great day. It's going to be a ton of fun. We will be back again some ungodly hour Thursday evening, Friday morning with another Championship Week video notebook. But on that note, on behalf of David Griggs from the Puppet Bunker, John Stalica. I'm Chad Sherwood. Thanks for joining us. We'll talk to you again very, very soon.